I am speaking with Joan Lavender, who will be offering a pre-conference workshop titled Bringing the Relationship into Your Focusing-Oriented Therapy Practice. Joan, what inspires you about your topic, and what do you most hope participants will come away with?
Actually, I want to inspire people who are doing focusing-oriented therapies who have courage, because all of us therapists need to have a lot of courage, to take the steps to bring relationality in all of its forms into their focusing-oriented therapy work. I hesitated there because I wanted to say, actually, to bring it back into their focusing-oriented therapy work. The reason I phrase it that way is because when I've sat with other people doing our kinds of work, FOT work, I have sensed a deep wanting, desire, and also a hesitation, an uncertainty, a fear, and maybe even at times a fear of being unorthodox, that may be in the way of them using themselves even more fully in their therapy work. So I see this topic as a challenge, and that appeals to me. So I think it takes courage, and it also takes knowledge. And my background, not only in focusing, but in relational psychotherapy and psychoanalysis, has helped me to appreciate what is already known about establishing the kind of complexity that comes along with working with people in a relational way. So I wanted to address a possible paradox, or maybe it's a confusion, about the value of acknowledging and including a multi-layered relationality within a focusing-oriented therapy. I'll tell you what I mean. Genlin says that he advises us to strive to be responsive visibly and authentically to our clients. But I ask myself, well, what does this actually look like? And does the way he means those words come out the same way I would apply them? So it's important to me that in this workshop, everyone who attends begin to get a sense of how they would interpret the word relationality in their own style as they move to include themselves more fully in their focusing-oriented therapy practices. So we'll be talking about questions like, how do we do both? And when do we do both? And should we do both? Share our own separate view, our opinions, our musings, our felt sensings, when that feels right. And when do we shift to a pure listening mode? And when does that feel right? And when we use these kinds of movements in our work, what then becomes implied to the client that we're working with? How does the client make sense of this, and how do they use this? You see, I think it's impossible when you sit with clients over time. It's natural, it's inevitable, and invaluable that you're going to have reactions to them as you get to know them. I'm thinking of a brief story from my own life. When I was a kid in the hippie era, hanging out with musicians, I was a bit confused. I was in love with one, another one was in love with me, a third one I thought might be sometime in the offing. And a very quiet guy, a guitarist, in that crowd of musicians came up to me and said, Joan, you seem to be a very nice person, but I notice that you seem also rather confused. Would you ever consider finding yourself a good therapist? Now, that experience of someone who seemed actually not to have a hidden agenda, but to be rather selfless in his approach, made me remember what the power of hearing someone say something based on their observations of me. So when you think about it, when someone in our life has the concern and the courage to give us their response as to how we are impacting them, and that means both positively and in more complicated ways, it makes for an unforgettable start of a relationship. And then when they're open to sharing their own motivations for why they're doing this, as well as their own human perfections over time, this becomes a special bond. Now, where focusing comes into this is that we can use focusing from the moment we meet someone to start to share our sense of the relationship as it forms, because it's created by both of us. So in this workshop, we're going to talk about using experiential/relational language and using what I've coined process intimacy to let our clients know how we come to our musings about them. We're also going to learn how to lean into difficult moments and how to loosen what people in the psychoanalytic world sometimes call the empathic straitjacket, which restricts the ways that we can respond. We're going to come to value the acknowledgement of how feedback impacts a growing relationship and how this implies trust, that we trust our clients to tell us their experience of us. And we trust ourselves and them to find the best way of sharing with them our experience of them. And we can do this all using focusing, creating what I call an experiential environment in which we can move into any moment between us and within us and even into the larger surround in a focusing way that feels like a soft padding and not like a harsh encounter. So this is my way, at least for now, of offering you a way of working that's within the focusing-oriented relational psychotherapy world. I hope you come. I think you'll learn a lot, and thanks for listening.
And thank you very much for your illuminating introduction, Joan. And for those listening, you may read more about Joan Lavender at joanlavender.com and www.focusing.org.